At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Travolting, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore, covering Eyes of an Angel. Enjoy the episode.
All right, here we go. We are recording.
All right, welcome everyone to this week's episode of Travolting. We got a hell of an episode in store for you folks today. Yeah, thank you all for tuning in last week to our episode on Look Who's Talking 2, as opposed to Look Who's Talking 1.
Or Look Who's Talking 3.
As promised, at the end of that episode, and as promised also in our intro today, we're covering the film from 1991, Eyes of an Angel.
Angel.
I would be so bold as to say this is the weirdest movie we have covered yet so far on this podcast.
And to clarify, weird is to differentiate from bad or worst. I would say this is not the worst movie we've covered.
Yes.
We've covered worse movies than this.
But this beats Two of a Kind.
Oh, yes.
And all those, and some of the other weirder, and like Devil's Reign and whatnot, is the weirdest movie.
In terms of like its content being weird and just out
generally
of nowhere,
confusing,
complicated, like this is the top for me, Jeff. And I think you're in the same way.
Actually, you know, I don't really know about that. This is just your average run-of-the-mill mob dog movie that's apparently about an angel.
Can we fill in some context for the audience, like our screening plan for this?
Yes. So this movie has a weird release cycle.
Yeah.
So it's a 1991 movie, which is why we're covering it now after Look Who's Talking 2. However, the thing is, it was only released in France in 1991. As well as like screenings to distributors and like friends and family stuff in the U.S.
Do we know why it was only France?
I do not know why it was, but it was going to be released by Triumph Releasing in the U.S. They removed it from their slate. It then sat dormant for 3 years, never got released, never talked about. It was re-released directly to home video in 1994 with a new name of The Tender.
Wait, I didn't know about this.
It was renamed The Tender when it was first released on VHS in 1994.
Why?
Right after Pulp Fiction, because Travolta had a jump in popularity after Pulp Fiction. What? So they're like, we have this Travolta movie that never got released. Let's throw it out there and make some bucks.
Why The Tender?
No idea.
Okay, so...
But it was then re-released again with the original name, which is the version we have.
The Eyes of an Angel, which that leads into... How did we watch this, Jeff?
Yes. So this movie is nigh unwatchable. It was only released in VHS. There was a DVD release in 2002 with a very limited run of printings.
Mm-hmm.
It cost $100 to buy that DVD. $100 to $200 online. Not worth it for this movie.
Not worth it.
So we ordered a VHS.
For how much?
For like $7.
Okay.
And then we just watched this movie on VHS.
Yeah, because your boy Stuart owns a VCR player. I have some vintage
retro guy over
VHS
here.
Tapes with that VHS tape smell.
Yeah. And we just watched it. We're coming less than 10 minutes off of finishing the movie.
Literally.
Talk to you folks right now about our experience watching Eyes of an Angel.
Because usually I get like, you know, I tend to watch movies like a day before.
Yeah.
You tend to watch them the same day, but you get like a few hours.
Yeah.
We are literally jumping right into like...
So this movie's fresh. You're getting some real hot takes on
You're getting
Eyes
some
of an Angel.
Real hot takes. And I still don't have quite some coherent thoughts yet.
I don't think this is a movie that can have coherent thoughts about it.
Yeah.
There's no coherence in the movie, so it would be difficult to have coherence in criticism or analysis.
Is there a story to be had about how John Travolta came about with his project at
I can
all?
Find absolutely nothing about this movie. I can find no behind the scenes information. The IMDb trivia is three things, and it's all just about it not being released. I can't find any analysis, any criticism of this movie online. This is a black hole of a movie.
Wow.
Nearly impossible to watch. Nearly impossible to find any like history or evidence of, but we will do it for you folks.
Yeah.
The only thing I was able to find is that this movie was originally going to be filmed in Houston, Texas.
Interesting.
But the Directors Guild of America threatened to strike against the movie.
For shooting in...
Or just they threatened to strike in general during that time. And it would have delayed the movie. So they weren't able to film as planned. And as a result, they ended up changing location to Chicago from Houston.
Okay. That makes some sense.
That is absolutely the only bit of trivia I can find out about this movie, is that it was going to be filmed in Houston. They changed it because of the strike. And filmed it in Chicago.
Okay.
Aside from that, this movie is a black hole and it just exists.
It's a black hole information historical wise, but it's also a black hole like mental emotion wise. Jeff, I'm internally sobbing from like I don't know what this movie is.
This is a weirdo ass movie.
It's like, you know, those there's an analogy here, but it's like when you're trying it, like when a computer algorithm has like it tries to identify something.
Yeah.
And it's like trying to determine if some, and it takes bits of information and it does an algorithm that sorts it into a piece of info. And there is some latency with that info because based on the information it has. So there might be like switching between one or two things, but in like 2 milliseconds, it's like, okay, it's this thing.
Yeah.
This is like that, but I am still deciding.
Yes.
Like, I still do not know what this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it's for. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what it means.
I don't even know what genre this movie is.
I don't know what genre it is either. This could be a Homeward Bound family drama, or it could be a Martin Scorsese gangster mob movie. Yes.
It's a lot of things.
It's a lot of things.
It could also be a Terminator movie.
As we discussed during the screening.
But I mean, I guess we should just jump right into it. Because there's literally no context about this movie. Travolta did it around the time he was trying to get back into serious acting. And it makes sense he's playing like a former drunk, like mob affiliated guy in this movie. So it's something he would be into.
Something to like clarify is that when we say like, you know, Chains of Gold, that 2-hour episode you folks listened to, that was not a weird movie. It was a very straightforward movie.
Yes.
It was just boring. Yes. This is not that.
Yes.
This is...
That fits into the same part of his career in that he's just doing these like small movies, but...
It's such a 180.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't say it's good or bad. I can just say it's like the Book of Henry.
Yeah.
This is a great example of like the Book of Henry.
Yeah. Just a very weird, strange movie that's bad, but you're kind of just really fascinated by all the choices it's making.
Yes.
Because it's making them and it believes in those choices.
It really does. And it commits to those choices. And I'm puzzled by it. It's a very puzzling movie, yes. Jeff. I think we should just jump into
one
it.
One thing I do want to say is that I just thought of is, of the last like 4 or 5 Travolta movies we've watched, they've all been related to him and a kid.
Yeah.
Look Who's Talking, him and a kid.
Chains of Gold,
him and a kid.
Look Who's Talking,
two.
Him and a kid.
This, him and a kid. And so I think it's this weird period of Travolta's career where he's
a dad.
He's trying to get back to being a serious actor.
Yeah.
But the only roles he can get are like dads.
Yeah.
Even when they're like a cop or a social worker or a mobster, it's like mobster dad.
Yeah.
He settled from the like Devil May Care period of his career
to the
dad part of his career.
I feel like we just got to get into it.
Yeah. So this movie starts, as did Chains of Gold, with based on a true story. And as with Chains of Gold, I can find no evidence of there being a true story to this.
Like, this was just, like, literally a newspaper article that somebody read and was like, oh, this is true.
100%. Whoever wrote this definitely just, like, was reading a newspaper and saw headlines like, dog follows family 1,000 miles west. And was like,
that's a movie.
There it is.
That's a movie.
True story right there.
Yeah. And then the other thing that it said that I'm going to call bullshit on right away.
Yeah.
Is it said no animals were harmed in this production. Now, you may ask, dear listener, fellow comrades, brothers and sisters, who am I to say that animals were harmed in this production? Well, I bring you to a case study. Do you remember that movie where it's like a dog's purpose?
Yeah.
It's like a movie in 2019 still felt under that category of like animal movies that say they're not abusive, but do abusive things to their pets.
Yes.
So this movie in 1990, which has dog fights in it, dogs that are like eating food from actors, dogs that are sleeping on like hard surfaces, dogs that have paws that are bleeding. And I'm sure a lot of these things are fake, but you can't tell me all of it's fake. A dog gets tossed into a river, Jeff, and it has to swim for a while. I'm not sure how they would have faked that. Mm. Like, a dog has to get into water.
I mean, it was definitely a fake dog thrown off the bridge. Then throw a real dog off the bridge.
Was it?
It looked pretty fake.
Was it?
It looked pretty fake.
Who are you to say it was fake?
I'm getting off this topic.
I'm just saying, like, it says no animals are harmed in this production. I call bullshit.
Mm.
I don't believe a movie in 1991... had the skills, technologies, and safety stunt department heads to afford a dog not to go through some kind of turmoil on the set.
I mean, this is kind of around the same time Homeward Bound was being made. So.
And Homeward Bound, we're not going to talk about because it's my fucking favorite movie of all time, but I'm sure it also abused animals.
Yeah. Anyway, besides listening to the cast, John Travolta, there's no one really of note besides John Travolta. There's one other actor I recognized.
Yeah, it was his brother later in the movie.
No, I recognized one of the goons.
Really? Wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'll talk about it.
okay.
But it's funny, it goes through the cast, and then the last part says, and Tripoli as the dog.
Tripoli as the dog. This is like Toto.
Yeah.
You know? So.
But then it starts listening to the rest of the like crew of this movie, like, you know, DP, cinematographer.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
Is a DP anybody of notable reference?
I don't believe so. But it got to executive producers, and that's when I saw the name Michael Douglas. And I confirmed... It's Gordon Gekko, Hank Pym, Basic Instinct himself, Michael Douglas. I don't know what he's doing producing this movie, man. But
yeah, I don't know either. But
sure as all hell did.
It's a weird choice. It's a weird choice.
Extremely strange.
How is Tripoli still alive?
I would assume no. I cannot find any evidence.
Yeah, he's probably not alive. This movie is 30 years ago. This dog would be old as fuck.
So we start at like some mob event. And John Travolta is just like scuzzying around.
Yeah.
He's like trying to look for a light for his cigarette. And he's just like, you know, just kind of sauntering through. He's like, let me just see Sissy.
Sissy.
And he gets brought and he meets Sissy and says, like, come with me. And he's brought into like the underside of this mansion that the party's at. And there's a dog fighting pit.
Sissy's also the gang mob boss who's wearing a ponytail.
It's a mob boss with a really long ponytail.
Yeah.
He brings it down to this mob pit, and there's dog fighting going on. Yeah. Michael Vick's on one side.
No. Michael Vick was not on one side.
Yeah, fuck Michael Vick.
But
they're fighting dogs, and there's a pit bull versus a Doberman? I think it's a Doberman. Yeah, it's a Doberman.
It's not a Rottweiler?
I thought it was a Doberman.
Okay.
Doberman.
Okay.
Doberman Pinscher. And so the dogs fight, and the Rottweiler takes out the Doberman.
Yeah.
And the...
The Pitbull takes out the Doberman. Yeah.
And the Doberman's just, like, lying there, and it's supposed to be dead.
It's, like, on the verge
but
of
the
dying.
But the twist is it's not dead.
It's not dead.
It's
still alive.
It's still alive. Travolta's like, I need a job, man. And Sissy's like, I don't know, you're clean? He's like, I'm clean. I know I am.
And he talks about, I have a business opportunity for a dry cleaning thing.
Yeah.
To talk about this dry cleaning thing.
And it's never brought up again.
It's just gang talk.
Yeah, gang talk.
Yeah. sure dry cleaning was code for something.
Oh, yeah, like, you know, collecting money.
What if they were actually just like, could invest into a dry cleaner in the city? And it's like, yeah, this neighborhood really needs a dry cleaner. We should help out the locals. Yeah.
That'd be funny as hell.
That would be funny as hell.
But that doesn't happen.
No.
Troll's like, oh, maybe I'll take the job. And he like wanders off. Mm-hmm. And then the dog gets driven by one of the mobsters who looks like Robert De Niro.
And is kept in the trunk.
Kept in the trunk. The guy opens the trunk, pulls the dog out.
This is when you and I first found out, oh, this takes place in Chicago.
Yeah, the guy trying to dump this dog. If you're trying to dump a body of any kind, dog or human, after an illegal event like dog fighting,
don't do it in
downtown. Where would you take the dog?
Where would I? In the Chicago?
I would take it to like the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I actually know a
good
place.
This guy drives downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
In the river, right near where Trump Tower is now.
It's either Wacker or
Michigan Bridge.
Dearborn or Michigan Bridge. Like, it's one of the
and
big
the
bridges.
The dude just pulls the dog out, walks over to the bridge, throws it off into the river.
And yeets off.
Yeah. The dog, still alive.
Still alive.
Wakes up when it hits the river and is like, oh shit, and swims away.
Yep. Very weak dog.
But the dog... makes itself back to shore.
Yeah, that's when I wrote down, the dog lives! Yeah.
But then we cut to a little girl, and she finds money on the sidewalk?
I can't remember.
But she finds money on the sidewalk, and she goes into a department store in downtown Chicago, and goes up to like a jewelry booth where they're selling fancy lighters, like Zippo lighters.
Yeah. I thought it was a jewelry store, but maybe a pawn shop or something.
But she's like, how much for this one? And the guy's like, 130. She's like, how much for this one? He's like, 75. And then he's like, here, this one's 35. And it's like this small one. And she's like, I'll take it. And she buys a lighter. Yeah.
This girl does not smoke.
This kid need to shoot up. No.
This girl's like 8, by the way. Yeah. Or 11.
I'd say like 11.
Yeah.
So she goes back home, and she's hanging out, and then she makes a cake. And Travolta walks in, and he's like, oh, I'm home.
And so Travolta is the father, and this girl is the daughter.
Yeah, and they live in like a scuzzy apartment in Chicago right next to an L track.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah?
What's the girl's name?
She does not have a name in this movie. She does not literally have a name in the credits, she's just listed as the girl.
And whenever John Travolta asks, like, look for this girl, what does he say?
Baby.
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 Honey. Baby. Yeah, like, you know, if you're going to look for somebody, it might be helpful to, like, shout their fucking name. Because, you know, if somebody says baby, I'm going to turn around because I get called baby a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Jeff?
Oh, you know it. Baby. But, yeah, so he comes to me, he's like, what's the cake? What's the occasion? She's like, I just wanted to make it for you. And then she's like, I have a gift for you, too. And she gives him the lighter. And
he's like, how'd you get this?
And she's like, I know you're always looking for matches or looking for lights. He's like, how'd you get this? It's not good to steal. And then he drags her back to the department store.
Oh, I love this scene.
And because of the cashier's like, hey, I want a refund for this. Guy's like, have you a receipt? And Joel's like, I don't got a receipt, asshole.
Like, I will flips get out. This case over.
Joel just flips out. It goes 0 to 100 like that.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, I can't return this without a receipt, dude. He's like, I recognize the girl, but I can't do it. Policy.
And then he literally like takes him, like grabs him by the shirt. And it's like, I will fucking kick this case over.
Yeah, and the guy's like, all right, I'll do it.
And like, I'm just looking at Jeff at this point thinking like, he's just fucking following store policy. Yeah. Man, like, come on.
Yeah,
this is where I thought it was a period piece before I found out, oh no, this is just modern day Chicago.
Yeah,
because I was thinking like, do people today act like that? Like, I was like, this has got to take place in like the 60s or 40s, and it's like, nope, this is modern day stuff.
It's crazy. And they walk out of the store and he's like, here, take the $35 back. He goes back to his daughter. Mm. They go home. They go to an Italian restaurant, but nothing interesting happens there.
And there's no mom in the picture, by the way.
There's no mom. They get home and Sissy, the mobster, is there in their apartment.
Yeah.
And he's like, how's the girl doing? And Troll's like, she's doing fine. And then he's like, it's revealed at this point that Travolta's wife, who had passed away, was Sissy's sister.
Oh.
And so Travolta kind of married into the mob.
See, I know that you and I both watch this at the same time, but I totally spaced on that. Totally spaced on that.
So, like, Travolta kind of married into the mob is the thing.
Okay.
That's the bit.
Yeah.
And now, like, this guy feels some sense of obligation to the girl because it's his niece. even if he doesn't really care for Travolta that much once I'm out of the picture.
Right.
Sissy says, yeah, I might have something for you.
And then In terms of work and a job.
And then he leaves. And the next day, the girl, who I'm, is also called, who's listed as baby on the Wikipedia page. That's funny. she's just wandering around some weird, like, scuzz part of Chicago. She's, like, in a factory, like, a burned-down factory or something.
She's in some abandoned place.
Like, what is she doing?
I don't know.
It's not safe. But she finds the dog just whimpering on the ground, you know, pulled itself out of the river.
It's, like, on the verge of dying.
She brings it food,
mm-hmm.
And it starts following her.
Yeah. She also brings it a blanket, gives it more food. She's, like, treating it well.
She's treating it well. And it starts following her.
Yeah.
And she's just walking with her friend to the train, and it continues to follow her.
Yeah.
And then she gets on the train, and the dog's up on the L platform.
Oh, my God.
And it's watching. Anyone listening, you have noticed that we are seemingly discussing two separate movies right now. There's a mob. There's like a dog movie and a mob movie going on.
We're talking about the dog portion. We'll get back to the mob portion. The dog portion is much more fun to talk about.
Yes.
The mob, not so fun to talk about.
So she gets on the train.
The door's closed.
Dog's
not on
the train. And
the
dog can't get in.
Right.
So the train takes off. And then
what does the dog do?
Well, you know what happens first? The movie makes a move, and it's just like... And, like, this drum action music just starts kicking. It's like, I can't do it. And this dog leaps off the platform onto the tracks.
Leaps off the platform.
And, like, speeds running along the tracks.
And here's the thing. Jeff and I, we're both from Chicago. And I remember my mom always told me, do not get on the tracks because they have, like, these electric rails on them.
Yes.
If you touch them, you'll get electrocuted.
The dog should have realistically just went...
Yeah, like, exactly. And we were thinking, like, that could have been the end of the movie right there.
The dog just got zapped.
It got zapped and died, but it didn't, dear reader.
Yeah, dear reader. That did not happen. the dog keeps, it chases after, and then it manages to jump onto the next platform.
Yep.
At the same time, the girl sees it.
Yep.
But that animal control comes out of nowhere and takes the dog.
No!
Sad.
Damn.
Sad. Extremely
pesty
sad.
Animal control, keeping our streets safe from rabid dogs. God damn you.
So why is
animal control always thought of as the bad guys?
They're doing their jobs.
They are doing their jobs. But have you ever seen a movie where animal control were the good guys?
No, they're always the villains.
They're always the villains. They're just doing their jobs.
Yes, they are.
You know? Yeah.
Sad.
Very sad.
But, you know, she finds where the dog was taken. And she goes to, like, the animal control center.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I need to see this dog. And the woman's like, do you have any papers for it to prove you own it? And she's like, no. And they're like, well, we're going to put it down. She's like, no, not my dog. And they're like, sorry, unless you have papers. And so she has her friend spill money on the ground.
Yeah.
To distract the worker so she can unlock the dog's door.
And then she leaves.
And then she just leaves.
And the dog does not...
The dog does not capitalize on this open door.
Here's the thing. This dog is sentient, but clearly not sentient enough to, like, know his opportunity.
Yes.
So the dog is still in the cage.
Yeah. And the next day, the...
They
come to put it down.
They come to put it down. They have the injector thing.
And the dog, like, leaps through the door after them. And it runs down the hall. And then it's like a metal door at the end of the hall with one of those little square glass windows.
I love this part.
This fucking dog, man. It leaps in the air and hole in one, like, turns itself into, like, a hot dog, like, slides through the glass, blasts the glass, slides through, takes off down the
shatters
street.
The glass on the door. It doesn't flinch. So... tell me that no animals were harmed in the production of this movie.
Insane so far.
Yeah. Literally, when that happened, we both were like, because I feel like at that point, you and I were like kind of like slouching down a little bit. Like, this is kind of getting a little boring. And then this dog fucking breaks through glass like a bullet. And we're like, oh.
And
this just got interesting.
Back at the apartment, the girl's like opens the window and she's like, you're letting all the heat out. You going to pay the bill? And he's like, I gotta do mob shit now. And she's like, oh, I want the window open just for the night. He's like, no. And then he goes to bed and she opens the window back up and the dog comes in.
Yep.
And, like, she helps bug the dog or some shit.
Yeah. So he wakes up the next morning.
And he's like, what the hell is this thing doing in here? It's a bad Travolta.
It's not New York Travolta. It's Chicago Travolta.
And he's like, what is this thing doing in here?
What is this thing doing here?
Yeah. And she's like, it's a good dog. I love it. He's like, this is one of the fighting... He recognized the dog from the fight he was at two nights prior.
That, which was odd, because I didn't realize he was paying that much attention to the dog fighting stuff.
And he's like, you need to get rid of it. And she's like, no, I want it. He's like, get rid of it. And so she takes it back to where she found it, in the, like, abandoned factory.
It's around this part. There was like a little bit of a dip of attention span I had.
Yeah. And she leaves it there. And then she gets home and the dog is beating her home. She walks in the room and it's just like sitting there. And the music is like, doo, 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 doo. It's like this very upbeat, like exact same track plays throughout this entire movie.
Yeah. And also Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis Presley.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like that.
Yeah.
But the next day...
What are you reading from right now, Jeff?
I have the Wikipedia... Oh my God, the Wikipedia summary plot for this movie is like two pages long. It's insane.
Somebody went through great deal. Is it credited by for anybody?
Like, no, it does not.
There's no source? There's no like number?
Nope.
There's no super notes or...
Not in the slightest.
What are the references? An angel external links.
Nope. Wow. Okay. So yeah.
Well, just thank you whoever put up that much information on Eyes of an Angel.
Yeah.
Because if you did not, like, this movie was literally like a black hole. Mm. You would not have known as much about it. So I just saw you reading that. I'm like, that's good to tell our audience, is that there is a Wikipedia page.
Yeah,
there's
an extremely specific...
Because they can't watch this movie, Jeff, unless if they own a VCR player like I do.
Or they want to spend $200 on DVD.
Then they're not going to be able to watch this movie.
So I am just using this to kind of guide me, because I remember the movie, but I'm just guiding through them.
Yeah, and I'm just, for our audience, if you guys do want to like go through like what this movie is really about, like there is a Wikipedia page that's pretty well in depth.
Yeah. So Travolta... Meets up with Sissy.
You're making me odd, bro.
Yeah. Bobby, like, or Charles's name is Bobby in this movie. I don't think we said that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Bobby, he gets a job from Sissy where he's just going around picking up collection money from like local businesses.
Yeah.
And then Bobby leaves and Sissy's just like grabs his goons. One of them is the guy from Ferris Bueller who's like, what country you think this is, man?
Good to know.
Yeah, that's the goon I recognized.
Okay.
He's also in Strange Days and some other good movie. He's in a lot of good stuff.
Cool.
But yeah. But Sissy grabs the goon and he's like, pick him up, take some of the money. I want to whack this guy. Sissy just really wants to take Travolta out of the picture. He blames him for his sister's death, apparently.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah.
I just thought this Sissy guy had a hard on.
No, he just...
For killing people. Yeah. And dogs. Okay, so then Travolta gets in this car, and he's thinking that he's going to be giving them the money that he got for them. And then they double-cross him and say, you're $300 short.
And
like,
they start
I'm not.
Beating him up.
They start beating
and
him up.
And he grabs, like, a tire iron and just...
That was a rock.
A rock and, like, goes to town on him.
Yeah. It's a very brutal scene. He starts eating their intestines. Like, and then he turns into a dog.
Yeah.
None of that happens.
But
it could have, like, for how weird this movie was, would that have shocked you?
But he realizes he was double crossed.
Yes.
And so he's driving back and he calls his daughter and he's like, meet me in the park, or not the Boston park. Meet me in the park.
Grant Park.
We're going on a trip.
Yeah.
And so he stops on Lakeshore Drive.
Okay. Time out. We have to talk about this.
Yes.
So, again, this is going to be the bit in this episode, is that you and I are from Chicago.
We are from Chicago.
We're going to say that probably 20 times during this episode. I've driven down Lakeshore Drive many, many times.
Yes.
In the scene that he stops on Lakeshore Drive is, and like probably the busiest parts of Lakeshore Drive, it's when you're southbound, you get past Navy Pier, Chicago Avenue, you get past Jackson, Monroe, and you get to where you are parallel with Buckingham Fountain.
Like right along the lake.
Right along the lake. You're right next to Grant Park.
Yeah.
But there is no like pullover lane.
Yeah, there's no parking lane.
Right. So he's literally stopping traffic on Lakeshore
Drive.
Yeah,
there's like a big line of traffic behind him. One of the guys is yelling like, hey, you asshole.
Hey, asshole. And it's
Travolta calls people an asshole a lot in this movie.
Yes.
He turns around and he's like, you asshole.
You're all assholes.
He says, and like, I wrote a note about this movie that like, you know, the saying like, if you meet an asshole, you met an asshole. If you met a bunch of assholes, you're probably the asshole. That's Travolta in this movie. He calls everyone an asshole in this movie. He's kind of just a bad dad and a bad person.
He is.
He's blocking traffic on Lakeshore.
Yeah.
And he sees his daughter and the dog. And he's like, no, the dog cannot come. And she's like, I'm not getting in without the dog. And then this guy's yelling at him behind. He's like, all right, bring the dog.
Yeah.
And so the dog and her get in and they take off.
But where do they take off from, Jeff?
Yeah, they pull off from Grant Park and then cut the reverse to shot, them on the north side of Chicago driving south.
Yeah, it's when they're parallel with North Avenue Beach, yes, which is north of Navy
significantly
Pier,
north
from Navy Pier and Grant Park. So like if you're familiar with the Chicago area, like where it goes from, it's like a parallel, it's like a profile shot of the car.
Yeah.
Of them taking off. Cut to rear angle facing the back, yeah, of them, and that rear angle,
the John Hancock Center is there.
The John Hancock Center is there.
You start driving south from one position and then move like 5 miles north and start driving south from there. It's very funny.
It's very funny and very disorienting.
I mean,
for people,
cool shot,
but
if you aren't from Chicago, you won't notice it. But if you are from Chicago, you're going to notice it.
You're going to notice it. People are going to watch this movie, though.
No one's going to watch it. No one has ever watched. We're the first two people to ever watch this movie.
I really want to like tweet out Travolta and be like, hey, can you talk to us about Eyes of an Angel, since nobody else will.
And so the
so then they're going to Los Angeles.
Yeah, they're going to LA because he has a brother who's there.
Yeah, who is played by,
I looked him up. His name's Jeffrey DeMunn.
Yeah, he's in a lot of Frank Darabont movies.
Yeah, he's in The Green Mile. He's in The Mist.
Yep. He's in Shawshank, I'm pretty sure.
Is he in Shawshank?
Positive he's in Shawshank.
I think you're lying.
No, I'm pretty positive he's in Shawshank.
I find no evidence he's in Shawshank.
Really? But he is in a lot of Frank Darabont.
Oh, I know he is in the Shawshank.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He's 1946 DA.
Yeah, he's the DA that in the very beginning of the movie when Andy Dufresne is on trial and he's like, Mr. Dufresne,
my friend,
do you admit?
Andy Dufresne.
Do you admit that you had parked outside your lover's house, your wife's house, while she was with a lover with a 38 caliber? Yes, that's all true. And then you came out. No, that's where you got the story wrong. Well, isn't that oddly convenient?
And that's when I came out on the beach and I saw my friend, Andy Dufresne. What a movie.
He's in Walking Dead, too.
Yeah, he's in Walking Dead.
He's Dale.
I've never seen The Walking Dead.
But it gets really bad after season 5.
He's in The Walking Dead. He's in Chicago Fire, The Good Wife.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's good. He's fine.
If you've seen his movies, he's really good. I think he's underrated.
It looks like Frank Darabont just likes this guy for some reason.
Yeah, he's a dope dude.
But he's in this movie as the brother, but they're driving to L.A.
Yeah.
And they stop at a truck stop, and Travolta pulls a fast one on his daughter. He locks the dog up
in a cage.
And they take off, and then the dog jumps off the hood of another car, leaps over the fence,
and starts
books it down the street after them.
Yeah.
And thus begins a 20 to 30 minutes of this movie, which is just them
driving scenes.
It's just them driving.
Yeah.
Them stopping. The girl pulls one of her socks off, puts it on the ground.
Yeah.
Then we cut to 4 to 5 minutes of the dog running.
Yep.
Nothing else to it. Just this dog, I swear, it's like, we said it was like the T-1000. It does not stop. It's like night and this dog's booking it down the highway. Cut to daylight, the dog's booking it down the highway. Just running. Like, you could just put over it. This dog is just booking it. It's so funny. It stops once. We only see it stop once to fall asleep, and a guy takes care of it.
Well, it does stop to eat food at one point.
It stops to eat food once.
And it, like, threatens a dog.
Yeah.
Like the T-1000.
Yeah, and it falls asleep at another place. And this guy, like, takes it out and has it play with his dog. And then the dog just books it and gets back on the rush. And this dog follows them 1,000 miles. Or 2,000 miles from Chicago to L.A.
It's Chicago to L.A.
Seemingly does
miles.
It in less than a week.
Yep.
During that time, Travolta and his daughter, like, they don't really do much. It's just like they stop every now and again.
Yep. John Travolta asks her about why she takes
and he calls people
off.
Assholes.
Yeah, he does call people assholes a lot.
But they make it to L.A.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
this is an hour in the movie, by the way.
We're fairly through this movie.
Yeah, this is already an hour through, and I feel like we've done a really good job of explaining every detail.
Yes.
It's an hour and a half long movie.
It's just a grade A weird movie because like, half of it's just this mob movie about a guy, and then like it'll be a mob movie, and then it just cuts to a dog for 5 minutes running down a highway.
Yep.
And apparently, like, this movie's called Eyes of an Angel.
Why?
The tagline of it is, he was looking for a chance, instead he found a miracle. And there's a lot of shots of the dog's eyes. So, like, you can... the only inference I can make is the dog's supposed to be an angel? Question mark?
I'm not sure. This dog would be an interesting angel.
I mean, it definitely has a lot of angelic stamina.
It does, and it but it sucks at fighting.
Yes.
If it's an angel, it needs to practice its swing.
Yeah. But, yeah, they make it to L.A. So does the dog.
Yeah, the dog makes it to L.A. too.
Yeah, and they meet up with his brother.
Same time they do. They're in a fucking car.
Yes. And they meet up with his brother, and they stay there for a day. And then Travolta gets into a fight with his brother for some reason or another.
Yeah.
He's like, you're always a failure. And he's like,
something like
that. I don't need you.
His brother's like kind of wealthy.
His brother's successful and Travolta's a failure.
Yeah. The classic brother tale.
Yeah. And they're like, you need to take care of your daughter better and stuff. Like Travolta's like, we're leaving. And so he and girl leave.
Yeah,
they leave.
Oh, Jesus.
And they stop at a gas station to get something. I can't remember what. Oh, stop at a motel.
They go to a motel first.
And he realizes he left his wallet in the car. And he turns around and the car gets stolen.
Yep.
And he has no money and no car, no nothing.
It's him and his daughter.
Yeah.
And they start, and he literally like leaves the motel. Yeah. And he's like, you're a bunch of assholes.
He's screaming at him calling that, and his daughter runs away.
Well, they go to the gas station first because he has to get her. He gets her a hot dog.
He tries to force feed a hot dog to her.
First off, two things. Number one, how's he going to pay for this hot dog?
He has no money.
Secondly, he literally is trying to force feed his daughter a hot dog because she's like crying while she's trying to eat it.
And he's like, eat the hot dog.
Eat the hot dog. And then she shoves it in her mouth and she drops. She's like, now look what you did. Yeah. And the gas station clerk, oddly enough, concerned, is like, hey, man, like, always on the girl. It's like, you shut up. You don't tell me how to, like,
raise my daughter.
It's like, you're just being a little hot on him, man. Yeah,
it's very silly.
It's like, you're an asshole. And then he walks out the gas station. He's like, everybody's an asshole.
And he's like, where are you, girl? Where are you, baby?
baby.
And she's gone.
And she leaves.
Yeah, and she's just hanging out on some wooden bridge crying.
Yeah, cut to...
And then the dog.
The dog!
Wait, no, we cut back to the mob first.
No, I thought it was the dog.
The mob first. Because the mobsters...
Visit the brother.
Yes, but first, I actually forgot, there's a part where the mobsters are searching through their apartment back in Chicago earlier.
Oh, yeah, we did miss that part.
And they find a letter he had written to his brother at one point. And they're that like, that's address. The only connection we can think of about where he could go.
Yeah, so...
Now, back in the present where we were.
Yeah.
The mobsters show up in L.A. They're traveling really far just to, like, get
this guy up.
Yeah.
It must be worth it.
They show up at the brother's house, and they punch the brother. And they're like, if you see him, tell us where he is.
They write him a check, too?
Well, I think they write him their number to call.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, yeah, call this number if your brother shows up.
And if you don't call, we know where you live.
Yeah. And so now the mob's in L.A. looking for him.
Yeah. Cut back to
Travolta, Travolta.
At some point after the daughter ran off from the gas station, it cuts to like the dog. So I wrote down, oh yeah, the dog.
Well, I know when you wrote that.
Yeah.
We cut back to Travolta and he goes to a bar and gets a shot of vodka. And then we cut to him under an overpass and he's just stumbling along. He falls down like on the side.
This man is defeated.
And then he looks up and who's there? Silhouetted at the top of the underpass.
The dog.
And that's when you wrote, oh yeah, the dog. Because it's been like 5 minutes since we last seen the dog.
And the dog
runs down the overpass and like licks Travolta. And Travolta's like, I've been touched by an angel or some shit like that. And he gets up and he walks with the dog. And the dog leads him to girl.
He knows where to find the girl.
Because he has super scent where he could follow them for 2,000 miles.
Yep.
Finds
the girl.
They find girl.
Travolta and the girl make up.
Yeah, they make up. And then they go back to the brother's house and make up with him.
And then the brother is
like, I'm glad.
They're fine. They found me.
And Troll's like, all right, I'll turn myself in. And then we cut to him getting beat up in a underneath a highway.
Which was introduced to us by a really cool establishing shot.
Yeah, it has a cool shot.
Yeah.
A cool shot.
Well, the silhouette shot of the dog was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
But
yeah.
He's getting beat up by the mob.
And I was like, where's the fucking money, Lebowski? Bunny says you're good for it. No. Like, where's the money? And he's like, yeah, you had the money.
Where's the fucking money, asshole?
Yeah. So they drag him back to his brother's house and throw him on the ground. And Sissy wants the girl back. He wants her to live with him because he's like, you're my niece. I can take better care of you than this schmuck.
Yeah.
And then the dog shows up. He's
like, well, first off, he says it very sensually.
Yes. But the dog shows him. He's like, Arr. And it's just like, this is a tough dog.
Stay away from my wife. I kill my wife. I can kill my wife. There was a man in my house. A one-armed man. I fought with this man. You find him. You find him.
My spirit's broken.
As soon as you said, like, I didn't kill my wife, it just matched. Why are you videotaping me? Okay. Wow. I'm crying. Okay. So yeah, the dog shows up.
Yeah, the dog shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically. And Sissy's like, and Joel's like, don't you recognize this dog? I used to fight with you. And Sissy's like, made it all the way out of here. This does make sense. Joel's like, believe it.
My thoughts too.
And he's like, all right, this dog's gonna fight. He's like, here's what we're gonna do. This is your dog. It fights my dog. If you win, your debts are absolved. If my dog wins, I get money from bets and still win.
Okay,
something.
I mentioned this to you while we were watching this, and that is, this is a shitty like ending to a movie in terms of like climax and like resolution, because it's a win-win for Travolta no matter what. I mean, if his dog loses, yeah, I get it. It's sad that the dog dies, but Travolta ends up like being absolved from his debt. If his dog wins, then great. Like, his dog lives and he's also absolved from his debt. But ultimately, it's like, we weren't really led to care. I mean, we are led to care about the dog, but more so we're led to want John Travolta to be let go of his debt so he can raise his daughter right.
Yeah.
So that was my one bit.
And so he's like, the dog's gonna fight. And then, you know, the girl cries and Troll's like, this is our only chance. I have a plan. And so the next day, they're at the fight. They're at a dogfighting ring. And they're like, next up is the human spider. And stuff like that. What the hell? The Spider-Man.
No, you got my name wrong.
It's the human spider.
The human spider.
Oh, Toby. Yeah, so they're at the fight, and the two dogs are, like, getting ready to...
Right.
Bobby tells the girl, like, when the bell rings, and so the two dogs are getting ready to fight. Bell rings, and the dogs are about to lunge at each other, and the girl runs in crying and screaming. And it's like, stop hurting the dog!
Stop the fight!
Stop hurting the dog!
Stop the fight! Throw the damn towel!
Yeah, and then literally all these guys who, like, fight dogs for a living, seemingly.
Because like, one little girl steps in.
It's literally the ending of Rocky IV, where he's like, if I could change,
you can change.
We can all change. Except all these dudes are like, I guess dog fighting's bad now. And they let the dog free.
Let the dog go. And then how is the debt issue resolved?
And then Travolta walks up to Sissy.
In the middle of the dog fight.
And slugs him in the face, throws him in the pit. No one stops this.
Nope. All the spectators are still here, by the way.
All these guys who are supposedly really into dogfighting are, like, changed by this girl crying and Travolta throwing this guy. Then the Doberman, like, runs up and, like, he attacks Sissy.
He rips up his arm, his leg.
And then ends with his, like, mouth on Sissy's throat. Like he'll bite the jugular.
Yeah.
And Troll's like, it's over. And Sissy's like, yes, it is. And the dog just leaves.
John Travolta and the daughter walk away.
Yeah, and Travolta, the daughter, and the dog walk off into the sunrise.
And that's
the end of the movie. That is the end of Eyes of an Angel. I'm still not quite sure why it's called Eyes of an Angel.
Yeah,
that's the movie.
That's the fucking movie, Jeff.
And
we got through it all in 45 minutes.
It's kind of impressive. There's really just not much to this movie. I'm very fascinated by this whole event.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm still decrypting this movie in my mind. I don't know where to place it, so to speak. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, Travolta has a problem, mm-hmm. and then a dog shows up and solves his problem.
Yeah, that's it. The dog just shows up, and I guess it's like an angel or something, and just...
It's a pretty shitty angel.
So, yeah, Travolta, but like, he doesn't have any character change. He just realizes he likes his daughter and that this dog saves his life.
He realizes he likes his daughter.
Yeah, he likes girl.
girl.
But yeah, this movie starring John Travolta, produced by Michael Douglas.
Not co-written by John Travolta.
Yeah, just has a very... It's strange. It's very weird. It's the weirdest movie we've covered.
It is so weird. I feel like I could talk for hours about this movie still. Yeah,
well, we only talked for 45 minutes. One of our shorter... we got through the whole plot that quickly.
Yeah, that was really quick. If it were to be any other dog breed that could work with this movie,
yeah,
what dog breed would it be? I have one.
What?
A Sheltie Collie.
Yeah. Who should voice the dog if this?
Well, okay. So yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because that was something I told you as we were watching the movie. I said this movie would be a million times better if the dog just fucking talked.
Yeah, because there's long periods of just silence where the dog's running, which is like the original Incredible Journey movie.
And facial expressions. Yeah. You get a lot. This dog is a great actor.
Yeah.
We cannot undermine.
This dog's
a
very good actor.
Great actor. There's so many shots of its facial expressions. It's a good boy.
Yes.
They're good dogs, Brent. Uh-huh. But yeah, I was saying to you earlier when we were watching, it's like this movie would be a million times better if they just made the dog fucking talk.
Yeah.
So
it should be talking like Stallone. No way. Just run across the country.
I don't know if I would pick Stallone for this, brother.
You know who I'd pick?
Who would you pick?
My friend. Andy Dufresne. No, I would just have...
Tim Robbins?
No,
or Morgan Freeman.
I just have Morgan Freeman voice the dog. So, I ran across this country 2,000 miles after this girl. I don't know.
I need more.
What if it was after my wife?
I don't know why that gets to me. It's really funny though.
I can
see like a very mellow Harrison Ford.
Early 90s Harrison Ford,
like Air Force One, cool, calm, collected, presidential.
I ran across the country trying to find this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I get that.
And then I fought in the pit.
If you got Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges to be the voice of the Doberman.
Tony, we're ironmongers.
So. But yeah, they could be voiced by plenty of folks, and it would have been so much better.
Yeah, instead, the only talking dog movie we're getting is our Look Who's Talking Now and Bolt.
And Bolt.
Yeah, those are our two talking dog movies we'll be covering.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
The thing is, this movie, there's really nothing to talk about in terms of its impact or anything that happened after, like we usually do.
Right.
Because the movie did not get a theatrical release.
No, it did not.
Except for France. It was released on VHS, and there's no record of any, like, what it did.
So, where do we go from here, Jeff?
I mean, something I'm curious about is who this director is.
Yeah, let's find out.
His name's Robert Harmon. Ooh, boy, you know what one of the movies he directed was?
What?
It's not the same one we'll be covering, but he did direct a movie. Don't say the title. Don't say the title.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The audience can figure it out if they look up this guy and what he directed. But he directed a movie that we will be covering of another movie of the same name. And it's...
For folks who are good friends of ours and know Jeff, it's worth it to look it up. It's worth it to look it up. Yes. For folks who don't know Jeff, you probably not get the joke just yet.
This guy also directed 8 different Jesse Stone movies.
What is the Jesse Stone movies?
So the first one's called Jesse Stone Stone Cold. It's a made-for-television crime drama filming directed by this director starring Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck?
Yeah, and it looks like he made 8 movies all about Jesse Stone starring Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck was all of these?
Yeah, and they all played on CBS. Oh my God, this is a whole franchise.
The Jesse Stone franchise?
Yeah, they made 8 Jesse Stone movies.
Somebody should make a podcast about these.
I'm like, we're doing the Stone cast.
The Stone cast. The Jesse Ice Stone cast.
Oh, this is so funny. Why are there 8 of these movies?
When did the newest one come out?
2015. It was a 10-year franchise. They came out almost once every other year.
Wow.
Television adaptations. Oh, wait, they made 10 of these movies.
What? There's more?
Yeah, they made 10 of these movies.
Somebody's got to make a podcast about this. Before I forget about this, we do have one more thing to talk about, Jeff.
What?
The hair ranking. Cue the music. All right, and welcome to the hair ranking of Travolting Podcast. I'm your co-host, Stuart Elmore.
I'm Jeff Sweeney. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for this Jesse Stone film franchise.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the hair.
Go off about the hair. Go off about
hair. It's worse. It's worse than like normal adult hair.
Ooh.
Like, how did you feel about it?
I mean, I can't even, it's so like nondescript. I can't even think about it.
I know, right? So because it's a nondescript, let's put it. Put it below Urban Cowboy, above Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Ooh, that's rough.
It's so unmemorable.
Yeah. For anyone at home who is listening and would care to know, here's the current status of the hair ranking.
Yeah.
I'll go in descending order. So in 17, last place, The Experts. 16 is The Devil's Reign. 15 is Moment by Moment. 14 is Boy in the Plastic Bubble. 13 is Eye of an Angel. Urban Cowboy in 12th. 11 is Basement's The Dumb Waiter. 10 is Look Who's Talking 2. 9 is Look Who's Talking. 8 is Two of a Kind. 7 is Chains of Gold. 6 is Blowout. 5 is Perfect. It's perfect, perfect. 4 is Saturday Night Fever. 3 is Grease. 2 is Carrie. And 1 is Staying Alive in first place for the only time in its life.
It's first place in my heart, man. Staying Alive is the best hair of all time.
And that's the hair ranking.
Yep.
All right, now I'm on this Wikipedia page for this Jesse Stone character.
Do you just want to talk about Jesse Stone?
Yeah, this Tom Selleck franchise is absurd.
I am folding up my notebook now.
I mean, that's pretty much closing thoughts on Eyes of an Angel. It's a weird movie.
Cool.
Viola Davis was in 4 of these.
How'd they get like a cast?
No idea, but she was in 4 of these movies. This is probably before she was like big. Because, like, her big break, not her big break, but one of her big breaks was would be around, like, The Help. That was kind of a really big.
No, she was pretty big before that.
And she was known before that, but I feel like The Help was her, like, big. She got nominated for an Oscar.
You might say it helped her out a lot.
My wife. Marmar. Yeah, she was in 4 of these movies. Jesse Stone, Stone Cold, Jesse Stone, Night Passes, Jesse Stone, Death in Paradise, Jesse Stone, Sea Change.
These titles are amazing.
Tom Selleck's in all of them. So is Cole Suddeth as Suitcase Simpson.
What?
There's a character named Reggie played by Joe the Dog. So I don't know if that's like an actual dog or if it's just the...
Are there any other big actors in this?
William Sadler is in them? I mean, he's not like big, but he's known. He's Death and Bill and Ted and the President in Iron Man 3.
Okay.
He's in them. what are these movies?
I don't know.
Extremely Strange. So Jesse Stone.
Jesse Stone.
These movies literally could never exist. I refuse to accept it.
I guess we're going to have to like binge it one someday. All the Jesse Stone movies.
Yeah, we're going to have to do the we'll do the Selleck cast.
The Selleck cast?
Yeah.
He's got a pretty big filmography, Tom Selleck.
Yeah, he's been around. I mean, we covered him in... we didn't. Never mind.
No, I think we've added Tom
Selleck. I was like, yeah, he was in The Devil's Reign. I'm like, no, he's not. He's not.
No, I don't think so.
You weird.
So
Eyes of an Angel.
Eyes of an Angel.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
We covered it. Grade A weird.
Very weird.
Yeah. I think that's it, unless you have anything else to say.
I have nothing else to say. Well, this is gonna be our first intentional episode where we're under an hour.
Yeah.
Unless if we can talk shit for 6 minutes.
I think it's a good one to cap it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Please remember to tune in next week for our episode on... I should have had this right now. On Shout, the movie Shout.
That was a decent one, right?
I think it was decent. We coming shout next week.
What's after that?
After that is Boris and Natasha.
What's that one about?
I don't know.
Boris and Natasha.
It's about a guy named Boris and Natasha.
Is John Travolta play Boris?
No, he plays... I'm not going to tell you who he plays in it, because I looked it up, and it's very funny, and I don't want it spoiled for you.
Okay. Is he a supporting character?
Yes.
Oh, this will be like our first like John Travolta supporting character one.
Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe whatever platform you're listening on. As a reminder, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. We appreciate every single like, subscription, and listen. It really means a lot. Find us at Travolting Pod on Twitter or Instagram for updates and fun stuff. Pop into our Reddit, r/Travolting. Email any comments or questions to travoltingpodcast@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at Jeff W. Sweeney.
You can find me on Instagram at StuartElmore95.
And special thanks to Rebecca Johnson for our graphic design, as always, and Michael Van Bodegum Smith for our theme music.
They're both amazing.
That is now leaving you out. Have a great week, folks. See you next time.
See ya.